You feel good tonight? Yeah. All right, let's just praise the Lord. Can you praise the Lord? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, you know, you just don't want to even talk. Just praise God. Hallelujah. Come on and just praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Ah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless all the new ones here tonight. I believe they already feel the power of God. You know, we worship and praise the Lord like they get out in the world and worship their things out there, you know. And we don't want to slight the Lord. We want to worship the Lord because He is the very essence of life, and He is a good rewarder. He is a very good rewarder. You'll know more about that when you get there that day, too, just how great the Lord is. But everybody that's here tonight, and if you're here new, we want to ask the Lord to bless you, and I know that He's going to do something for you. Now, I've been praying for the sick almost every Sunday night since we've had the building open here. And go ahead and be seated. And I've been praying for them so much. We've seen so many miracles, and people travel from all over the country and everywhere. And there's just miracles from all 50 states and overseas. And so I've been some nights not praying for the sick on Sunday night and then having a special prayer for the sick the following week. Tonight, I don't know how the Lord will lead me after this message. It's according to how He leads me on this message. But I will say this. Next Sunday, you be here. I'm having a special healing service, a miracle service for those that are sick. And if you need prayer, you'll be able to come right up here in front of me and get in the prayer line and tell me what your disease is or what you want God to do for you, and expect a miracle. Expect a healing from the Lord. And so go about your business, praise the Lord this week, and you'll be here next Sunday, and we're going to be praying for the sick. I've been doing so many series of messages that the Lord has led me several times to do it that way. So we'll be sure to put you in right in the line if you're here tonight for prayer. And then after service, though, if I don't pray for the sick, I'll pray for you right here. And if you look up and believe God, you can be healed right there, because it is strong. The power of God is everywhere down here. If not, we'll be sure to put you right in the front of the line. If you're new, you'll be back. You'll have a special place, and then you can come before us. And believe me, I'm expecting God to heal you. Can you say amen? All right. It's wonderful. Jesus is truly wonderful. Now, I'm going to start tonight. And if you listen really close, if some of the people that's not been able to hear the Bible much, anything about the Bible, then, you know, you won't understand it like you really should, but don't let it worry you. You will begin to feel and know the fundamentals of it, and you'll know that this world is planned by God, timed by God, and everything that He does is ordained pre-adventure. He knows the beginning to the end and afterwards and beforehand. How many of you believe that? Do you really believe that? But I noticed tonight when we come out here, it said, every one of the promises of God are true. How many of you know that? Every one of the promises of God, all of the promises of God are ours. And I believe that with all of my heart. And they are real. When He says He'll heal you, you believe just a little bit and you've got a healing. You want salvation, you believe just a little bit and you receive salvation and act accordingly and you have it. Every once in a while somebody crosses over, but they're in a better place than what we are. Can you say amen? But just look at the 98 or 100% that God heals by a miracle, and only a small percentage that don't get it. So He is marvelous and He is good. And some people sometimes lose what they get from God. But hold to Him true. You will not be disappointed. He is a lovely God. I know that. Can you say amen? It's worth all the trials. It's worth all of the tests and all of the problems that you go through. You wait until the end of it's over with. And when you approach the Lord at the end of the age, at the end of time, you'll thank Him a million times for His word and the Bible and so forth. So listen close tonight. His promises are true. Every one of them. Don't ever let the devil gouge at you. Don't let the devil steal those promises, because Jesus warned that's what His job was, to try to steal them. They're yours. Keep them. Can you say amen? Don't give them to him or anybody else. Keep those promises. They are yours. Now tonight, the bride prepares. Part two. Now, I want you to listen deep and intently, and listen closely to what is said here, and we'll see what the Lord has, because it deals in something that is a mystery, and many people don't understand. First, we'll start with Romans 9, and if you listen closely, you'll be healed while you're sitting in your seat or saved. Now, Romans 9, and we'll begin at verse 11. For the children... And no one could write predestination like Apostle Paul could here. In Romans 9, 11. For the children being not yet born. See, God already knew before they came, because it said Jeremiah, he knew before he was in his mother's womb. He knew Cyrus before he was ever put upon the earth. He knew Solomon before he came. And he knew different kings in the Bible before they came. But he says this. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now you see, election is involved in all this. Why aren't you people, some of you here tonight, the Hebrews of the olive tree there that came forth? Why are we Gentiles and why are those Hebrews? Why are other people what they are and why are we what we are? Because God is doing it by election. Can you say amen? He knows what he's doing. And all of his creation will prove it out too. And says this, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He didn't like the ways of Esau, but he knew that Jacob, even though Jacob got that crooked spell in him, he was still the child of the Lord. And then finally, when God got a hold of him, you know, he sort of cribbed him up in the back. I always said he got a hold of Jacob's pocketbook somewhere and everything, because Jacob was that kind of a fella. But God said, here's a prince coming right here. And he become a prince with God by predestination there. God calling him there. And so we've got that. And so we have it right here. And so he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. See, he's not of the elected seed at the time. And what shall we say then? Is there a righteousness with God? Paul said, God forbid. And verse 16, and it says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. See, now watch how your calling comes. Now tonight, some of you people say, well, I felt just led to come out here. Many times the Lord is calling you definitely on the night that you come, bringing you into the service to hear something. He wants to talk to you. If it's just two or three people, some nights he'll talk right to them, and then he'll talk to the congregation too. But he knows what he's doing there. And so it goes down here, verse 18. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden. See, harden them away from God or bring them into God. And then verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replieth against God? Shall the thing that formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Why hast thou made me thus? You tell God, why have you made me a Gentile and not a Jew? Or the Jews say, why have you made me a Jew and not a Gentile? And then other personalities too. It said, should we say unto him that formed us, should we say unto him, why hast thou formed us in this fashion? We're not to do that. And it goes on down through here. Why hast thou made thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. See, God has his ways in all that he's doing. It says here, according to election there. And then he goes down here in verse 27. Isaiah the prophet, also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. No matter how many they are, there'll just be a remnant of those that are saved. He will see to that. He doesn't care how much they expanded. He doesn't care how many of them come upon the earth. He's still prominent. A remnant would be saved, and that shall be according to the word of the Lord. You say, how about the others? Why did God cast them off? Because in his plans, he is different than anything that you've ever seen, because he has his hand on. He's showing us right here. For he will finish the work, cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now it says this, and Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have been at Sodom and Gomorrah, and we would have been turned into ashes. How many of you know that? He appointed Abraham on the hill, and he was there. And you say, well, doesn't that take away that whosoever will come? No, it is. Whosoever will come. But you see, he died for the whole world, and he healed the whole world, and he saved the whole world. But the whole world don't believe they're healed, and the whole world don't believe they're saved. So the whole world is sick still nearly, and the whole world is not saved, because the Bible said, and the most important thing, now we'll never convert the whole world according to the Scriptures, but we are sent to get out a group of people from the world, bringing them to prepare for our bridal party of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is our job. We're to bring out what God has called us to do, and then witness to the rest of the world, because the Bible says that the whole world will not come unto the Lord. But then those that are chosen are those that have faith in God will come to him. It's a deep subject. And this morning, as I was telling the people, I don't believe, you know, that once you're saved, that you can go out here and backslide, drink, smoke, and run around like that and still say you're saved. I don't believe in that kind of predestination, but I believe in this way. I believe that God's married to the backslider. And I believe that that person, by the Holy Spirit, he will draw them back. But if you keep on and keep on and keep on, you see, then you're only cutting the thing short. But no matter how many times, the Bible says 7 times 70, he forgives. And if man forgives that much, then how much more we do? But I do believe in the election seat of God, and that whether they go out or come in, and most of them should stay with the Lord in holiness and be with the Lord, I do believe that he will bring that seed in. And I believe the elect seed, to the best of their ability, are known as the elect because they love all of the Word of God, and they will live according to the Word of God, and they believe everything in the Bible, even if they don't understand it. That is something that God has given each of us in our hearts, that we believe Him no matter what. We believe the Lord Jesus. You're getting close to your healing and your salvation. And then, see, when you go a little ways with God, boy, He'll go a long ways with you. But it's a trouble today. People don't want to go a long ways with the Lord. And then speaking this morning, there's some, the incorrigible seed. And no matter what, they won't come back to God. And no matter what, they're not even the foolish virgins, which do come back to God through the tribulation. And they're not anything to do with the wise or the bride or the foolish virgins that come through great tribulation or the Hebrews. And I was speaking this morning, and it seems that God will chastise, but they will not come unto the Lord. But the sons of God, the very ones that love the Lord, then they will come unto the Lord under chastisement. And they will come unto God. And I was speaking this morning, I told you I would get a scripture. And the incorrigible seed that never will amount to anything with the Lord, and I don't speak this against the physical at all, but it's a spiritual thing. And it says in Hebrews 12:8, but if you're without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then you are bastards and not sons of God. You see, the Lord puts it this way and He brings it that way. And through the correction, they come unto the Lord many times. And they love the Lord with all the heart. But we're speaking on spiritual things that Paul was speaking about there. Then there are the other incorrigible seed. And that's what election stand. Esau, it seemed, was incorrigible. He couldn't do anything with him. But even in that, the Lord sometimes pulls something out that we can't see. Look at unruly Cain. He would not obey the Lord. And he told the Lord he was not going to obey Him to His face. And he declared he wouldn't obey Him and turned around and murdered the promised seed of election, Abel, and God raised up another one through Seth there. And so we see the dragon to devour that righteous seed. And so all now we see how election will stand. And I believe that the elected group, they will come into the Lord, and no matter what, the Lord will have them. And when they come in, He will hold them finally. They will be in His hand. And so that's what it says here. You can read that in Hebrews 12:8, and a few more verses are right there. We're talking the spiritual things now and not physical. How the physical part of a person that would be called what I said a while ago. There's even forgiveness because it's no part of the child's fault. God will forgive a little child that doesn't have a father or something like that because he don't know anything about it, you see. God is merciful and He's good. I know the Old Testament speaks then it was pretty hard, but under grace, it's a different thing now. And so the Lord is merciful. What we're speaking about, though, is the religious, the serpent seed, the old wicked one, the son of the wicked one, the Bible says, and so forth like that we're getting involved with here tonight. But then the election. It not only election takes in the bride of Jesus Christ, the elect, but it takes in also the wise that fan around it. Also, it takes in the foolish that go through the great tribulation. Also, it rainbows out into the Hebrews, which is much beloved of the Lord, the 144,000, Revelation 7. And it takes in those and the brethren and so forth. God knows what He's doing. There's going to be a great tribulation harvest, and that is the elected that way, the same as the bride is the elected to come up hither. And you listen here. God will bless your heart. And it says in Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 5, listen to this. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's what it says. And the other verse that carries it here is verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, we're predestinated. We're known before the foundation of the world. He knows all about our comings and goings. He knows about the children that are not born right. Because of sin from one generation to the other, He has asked the people to repent. He has forewarned them, like He did the Egyptian. He said, if you will live and obey My word, and according to My statutes, and do all that I've called you to do, I will not put any of these diseases upon you that I have put upon the Egyptian, but you will have a clean slate, and no sickness will come nigh your dwelling. And the Lord gave him those promises. What did Israel do? They broke their vows, become worldly, put up idols, begin to worship idols, then the diseases begin to strike, and then so forth. So sin, when it come in the world, brought diseases. Jesus come at the cross, and He defeated those diseases. He defeated death, and He gave us life through salvation. By His back, He was beaten, that His stripes, we were healed by God's power. It is there for whosoever will get enough of nerve and come up there. Amen. You know, it's something just to get in anywhere in the kingdom of God. I told the Lord, a bride is wonderful, and that's where I want to be. But let me tell some of you, and anybody in the world that would hear this, brother, try to get in somewhere. Don't get left down through here into the pits of perdition. Can you say amen? Strive, God. Go for the best, boy, and then hope, and hope with faith in your heart. God will bless your heart. We're to be caught up. We want to be, when He says, come up hither in chapter 4, and different parts in the Bible there. And we'll get into that in a moment there. So we see that He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And you read that chapter 9 of Romans, if you really want it, Romans 11 and 12, you read that and you will really see something. And then read Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, and you'll see something there that you probably hadn't seen before. And then in Romans 8, 18 and 19, see, God's predestinated circle is infinite mind. It's a manifold wisdom of God beyond mortal conception. That's why that there's arguments about not understanding it and this way and that way about how he does things. But his mind is manifold, and the wisdom is beyond anything we've ever seen in the history of any universe or anything that man has ever done, no matter where they're at. And it's infinite, and oh, it's far. It's a royal mind that we cannot understand all of it. But we do know this, by simple faith in him, he will do whatever we ask him. Can you say amen? He hears us when we pray too. And some people say, you know, they don't think God hears. He hears every prayer that you pray. And even when you don't get an answer, sometimes you get an answer because he don't want you doing that, or he doesn't want this to happen. But he answers those prayers. He is there. He hears every one of them. So you get an answer every time, whether you know it or not, if you believe. Now remember, it's the prayer of faith. It is not just a prayer. See, it is the prayer of faith in James. You can read it, James 5. It is the prayer of faith. And he's right there. And if you pray in your heart like a little child, just simply believe that it's left with the Lord and go your way, it is left there. He is right there to do what is best for you, and he will do it. Amen. It's just a good message in that. And so we see how that God is really moving. And, you know, before I get off, Jesus was a stumbling block to him there. In verse 33 in Romans 9, said, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. See, it offends them. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Oh, praise God. People today said, I'd go out there and get my healing. I would go out there and believe in salvation. But, you know, it's what other people will think. Jesus said, you need not be ashamed. If you're ashamed of me, he said, I'll be ashamed of you, because you have a God. If you only knew, just one snap of the finger, this earth would melt. That's the end of that. That's how great it is. And when you take hands with him, you took hands with Mr. Eternity. There's no greater person in the world that you can join up to. Everything else is insignificant from that point on. You have eternity in your soul. You have stepped it into eternal life. Oh, it's greater than just those a few years you have upon the earth. Take hold of his hand tonight. Can you say amen to that? All right, now listen. We're going to read this here. And here's what it is in Romans here. Romans 8, 18 and 19. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Notice, see, Paul said, your glory will be on the inside of you. You remember this morning when the bride will stand close to the cherubim and seraphims? The Lord will be in awe, in power. And then forth from that will be the wise, and then there'll be the others behind, and so forth until the earth and the 12 tribes rule the earth in 1,000 years, millennium. Then there'll be a new heavens and new earth. But when I was speaking to you this morning, you remember how I said the different lights, how that God, the glory revealed in us in the different dimensions, one to the other will be in a dimension. It is beautiful. And to see God do that, it's not like, see, on the earth, we have things on the earth here. There is spiritual things. And the way that he does it is beyond your comprehension. It's either in it in your heart, in your head, eye, or it you have seen or heard what God hath for them that love him. How many of you really believe that? See, this is good, isn't it? All right. So it says here, it says, compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And they're in the sun-clothed woman here. And I want you to read a little bit here. In Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. See that? Oh, what a struggle many times. What a kind of force. And you really have to go up against the old flesh and to go up against the old devil, because he's trying to prevent this thing from coming forth here. For we know that the whole creation groaneth. Just look at the earthquakes. Look at the weather patterns. Get the book Prophecy, Part 1. And in the last couple of weeks, that everything almost that was predicted in the book, I would say half of the things that were predicted in the book, began to happen in just a couple of weeks' time, from the volcanic eruptions to the earthquakes that took off almost over Ireland. Great mountains in California are beginning again to slide into the sea. They had it on the network news. We had some of the tornadoes, they said, looked like cosmic, looked just like atomic blasts that blasted the whole cities at one time, cut paths in there for miles wide, and the storms that they had, and the floods they haven't had in 40 and 50 and 70 years. That's also in Gathering Storm Part 1 several years ago, and it was wrote in 1968-9, and somewhere in there some more prophecies there too. So the book Gathering Storm Part 1 will show you what's happened the last few weeks, and then what's going to be in the future on top of that. So it's prophecy. Now here it is, these earthquakes and the weather patterns here. It says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth, it's travailing in pain together until now. And the only, and it says here, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits. Now, there's your first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves. Now, they're the ones that's groaning. Those are the ones that's praising God. The ones that's preparing. Behold, the bride makes herself ready there. It says here that we which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within, because waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, there is the groaning. And there's all of creation in a travail right now. That's what happens on the earth. That's exactly, the earth has travailed since the beginning of time when the Lord, there was an overthrow in the garden. And then at Noah's time, when the earth went out of its axis, and somehow our days are longer now slightly. They used to be 360 days, 30 days. Now get in that. When I do any of my prophetic reckoning that I get from the Lord, it's going to be on a 30-day basis or 360 days a year according to the Bible. That is the Bible's prophetic clock. That is the Bible calendar. The calendar we have today, it runs 365 days a year. And you can't get your timing right because it'll run out. It'll run short. It won't be there like it is. But God's time, he does not change. I am the Lord, and I change not. And before the flood, they have records that the time of that time, and any time that the Lord would write, he would wind it up exactly 30 days or 360 days. In the book of Revelations, he comes right back in the book of Revelations. He has the 1260 days, those, and everything that he does, the 42 months, everything is time, and it's time to days. Daniel went by the 30 days and the 360. Today the calendars are different, but the prophetic timing of the Bible and the way that God predicts things in the Bible to bring them out is that he is not like the calendar of man, but it's the calendar in the Word of God, and he gave it as 30 straight days and 360 days, a perfect circle. Can you say amen? You want to take man's calendar? I know what was before the flood, and I know according to the Scriptures exactly how God took that. Oh, I'm not telling you not to look at your calendars or nothing. I'm trying to say that they don't know what time it is. Can you say amen to that? He said they wouldn't know, and the Lord said this. He said, I will shorten the time. Towards the end of the age, he said, and the time, unless I shorten the time, there'd be no flesh saved upon the earth. They'd destroy everything on the earth. But for the elect's sake, he will begin to shorten that time. And there is somehow an interruption of time during that time. He interrupts the time that we know of. And then there is an Armageddon before they can do away with the whole earth, though he intervenes at that time. But anyway, so there's a travailing of time. And there was a disruption the time the tides pulled in. And it rained so much upon the earth. And the whole earth at that time was destroyed by water. And then the travailing began. And all of that. It's been right up to the time that we live in today, and we see the great travailing that we're going through. And now we'll turn to this, Revelation 12, and we'll see just exactly what holds. Now remember, in Matthew 13:30, we speak this way, that shows two seeds. There's the weed and the wheat, and it goes as two seeds in there. And then at Revelation 12 here, and there appeared a great wonder. That's a sign. She was a sign woman in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And being with child, she cried in travailing. See how it's travailing there? In birth. And was pained to be delivered. Paul just got through saying, that's what we're expecting. That's what we're groaning. That's what we're waiting for. That's what the earth is going through now. It's going through a process. We're getting closer and closer of that birth. And it'll be caught up into the heaven too. And then we'll see the dragon crawl. Now I'm going into world history here. And we're going to see. And then I'm going to close why there's such a struggle and an argument. And why that Satan is trying to prevent the resurrection and the translation. And Jude, remember he came up there and Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee over the body of Moses. He didn't want that resurrection to take place there. It showed us that at the end of the age that he will try everything in his power to deceive you. He will try everything to pull you away from the Word of God. He will try to pull you away and tell you there's not any such thing as the translation. He'll try to pull away from you and tell you there's no resurrection. Don't believe it. Satan come right up and Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. And he pulled him out of there and took him wheresoever he wanted to. And he'll not fail a one of them in the grave either. He'll not fail a one of them in that translation, but he'll be there. We'll get to that in a moment. All right, listen. And there's that sun-clothed woman. Now, that symbolism in the heaven, that means something in the heaven. It shows that woman has been there through history since the Garden of Eden, producing, and the seed that's coming. That's children she's speaking about there. Over here in Revelation 17, you see the gaudy woman, Mystery Babylon in there. That's another seed running through there. But here she is right here in Revelation 17, a sign in the heaven. Now, there's those 12 stars on her head there, a typing of Israel. The sun clothed shows the church of the ages, Gentile and Jewish. It was Israelites until Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles in 54 A.D., I believe it was. And then they seen the olive tree. The branch was turned down at that time. They went into blindness. And the Lord, by election, come. By election, saith the Lord, to the Gentile. At the appointed time and in the season of time that I call for it, did I come. All right, now, he will come again in the translation at the appointed time that I have called for. I shall come again. I believe that. Don't you believe that? He's talking now. I know it. Now, here it is. And so, with his child, here it is, right here, the church. And then there appeared another wonder in heaven. See, there's another great sign appeared, too, right along with a woman through the ages. Now, why do we see us through the ages? I'll show you in a minute. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads. See, perverted. Seven heads, perverted. And 10 horns. Boy, it was a monster. And had 7 crowns upon his head. Now, those crowns were upon the head. That's 7 world successive empires from Egypt to Rome to the papacy. Right there, the empires from the time of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecian, and Rome, and right straight on up to Rome again, right straight up there to the leg split there. And those 7 crowns means from Egypt, clear up to where we're at today, there's 7 crowns there, and stood before the woman. That means that the seed of the woman ever since the very beginning has stood there, and ever each one of those world empires had put pressure against the woman's seed, trying to keep those from coming forth to God, trying to put pressure. They've been persecuted. They have been fed to the lions. They have been killed. The state has went against them. The empires, all 7 of them, have pushed against the ever age that God would bring his people. They had to fight their way through there. Now we're going to the bride at the end of the age, and there's a great struggle. There's a great travailing, just like it's been through all history. But this time, it is something great. It is something different. She's about to do something now that she has never done in history before. She's going to give birth. It's something that she's travailed for. Remember, the 12 stars and the sun clothed, and the moon is Israel, church Israel, and the Gentile church. That shows the church of the ages through all dispensations until the moon on her feet. The moon on her feet is she's in the heavens and yet earthly, but set in heavenly places with the Lord. And that moon is a revelation from the sun there. And the Old Testament was brought from the Hebrews to us, and it shows it perfectly. And then the woman in Revelation 17 with a golden cup in her hand, jeweled, and all the wealth of the world on her there. Mystery of Babylon, the mother of whores, and so forth like that in the Bible, that it gives it there. There is the other woman, and her seed is the seed of the dragon, and there she stands, boy, ready to seduce the earth and market in Revelation 13. We're seeing something here, too. They have been bitter agony. They have been against one another ever since the time the false church would raise up and persecute the true church all through history. There was little Abel said, I'll do what you want, Jesus, or to the Lord God at that time. He said, I'll do what you want, and I'll bring the right sacrifice because I really believe that I have to obey the Lord of heaven. I've heard him. And then here's Cain. There is the other type religion. And there he was there. He said, I will not do what God says. I'm not. I have my own religion. I want a religion that I believe in God, but I want to do it my way. I want to do everything that the way that I want to do it. And the Lord come to him and tried to help him every way he could. But he wouldn't listen. He was unruly. And there's the other church. See, there's the two seeds right there. So he rose up in madness. And right from the very beginning of the Garden of Eden, he killed Abel and murdered him, and God put a mark, and he fled, and he went out through there, and he left there, and there today, and then so forth. Nimrod coming with the old ancient mysteries in there. We've got in there in the things that I'm bringing out in these series here. I've got, this is a sun-clothed woman here. It shows her beauty and all that she's done, and how that God's hand is going to be in the tribulation too, and how that God has courted her and has helped her, and with the power of the prophets, he has actually courted and helped this woman. And then we see the other woman in Revelation 17. She sits on the same beast here, the red dragon. It had 7 heads on it there with crowns, and 10 horns with crowns on them, and she rides the beast. See, the Roman beast and the scarlet there and communism, all that will be mingled up one of these days. She riding in there, and she's supported and loved by the supporters of the earth, and they just carry her, committing fornication and all these things in the scriptures, spiritually and otherwise, in there, in this great system there. But over here, the Lord Jesus, he courts the woman over here, the sun-clothed woman. See, there's 2 of them, and they're both bitter at one another. There is a contest, kind of challenging, and always that other church, the false church, is the woman, has persecuted the seed of the other one. And we see it all the way up through history, even to the days of Jesus, when he died on the cross. Now something glorious is going to happen. And no matter how powerful the devil was, no matter how big an empire from Egypt to Rome, no matter how big it got, the Lord God always had a seed, boy, and he had a prophet, and he always brought them through just like he wanted. And he said, although there are sands of the sea, I'll always have a remnant, because that's what I really want, is the remnant. And he would always pull them through. He has never failed the church, and he never will fail the church. And he's got a remnant right now at the end of the age, that man-child, and they're coming forth, and he is going to get them. Can you say amen? All 7 empires, all 7 empires from Egypt clear through to Rome. All seven of those could not stop it. Man, those were world empires. They couldn't do it. God's going to do what he does, because he's going to have Nebuchadnezzar said he does what he wants to do in heaven with his armies, and no one can stop him. And that's right. And Nebuchadnezzar ruled the third empire, the Babylonian, where Daniel was at. And so we see the red dragon, the great red dragon, having seven heads. And then we see that he has the crowns are there because that's world history on the seven heads. But the ten horns are not crowns yet. Did you notice that? I did. I said, now wait. Here are the seven crowns, but those are the seven world empires. We're up and had those through history. But here at the end of the age appears these ten horns. See? They're yet to be crowned. They're not even crowned when he starts persecuting here. But howbeit, the Antichrist system is beginning. It shows ancient history pulling into this, and it shows the very end of the age. It's very prophetic. This here that we're doing now is in another dimension. We're beginning to go into the future. I mean, we're going on. We've been in history. We're going on in the future with this unclothed woman here. And then we begin to see this. Now remember, this here, the two seeds here, and it says here, and it says the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Just wanted to kill it and get a hold of it. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up. See, her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, some people say, would that be Jesus at that time? Well, it probably depicts that. But this is future. This is definitely prophecy. Because as we know, Jesus did not escape. No, he fled into Egypt for a while as a little child. The old dragon was after him then. He come back and he lived in Israel. At 30, he went into his ministry. No, he wasn't caught up. No, he had to face death. He died on the cross, and then later he went on up to God. So this predicts a group. Besides that, it says that the man-child is caught up, but her seed, part of the seed is left. Now, there's your foolish virgins. Just as beautiful as Matthew 25 gives it, and Revelation 14 gives you another group. Revelation 7 has the other group in there. You just see these groups so beautiful, what God's going to do there. And so it was caught up before his throne. Revelation 4, you'll see the throne. And John typed the rapture of the church when he was caught up. He thought he heard a voice and a trumpet. He was caught up around a rainbow throne there, and he was sitting right there. And it gives us that in different places in the Bible here. And so we go through here, and the woman fled then. The child was born. Because, see, this is the woman that is not exactly where she should be herself. And she fled of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years, and those years are determined by 30 days per year, because Daniel's 70th week, the latter part of the Daniel's 70th week, is yet to be filled. When the Jewish temple goes into operation in Israel in Revelation 11, there will be a temple. Someday it will be there. And that Daniel's 70th week, when it does, will be on 30 days. It will not be built on our calendar. It'll be God's prophetic calendar that's given in the Bible. It's that way. The translation, when he calls that, will be connected to each one of those 30 days since the beginning of time, right straight on out as he does it, because that is the way. Solar years are done different. That's a different kind of a calendar. But I'm telling you, I've got some things this June that I want you to hear now so that you can prepare for it. And as I got to dealing with those prophetic wonders in there and the infinite power of God and the way, you know, in a circle itself, there's 360 degrees, I believe. But in the timing that God brings, and how that he speaks in 1,000 days, this is a day of the Lord, and a day is 1,000 years. He does what he wants to do. But in all that he showed me, and the prophetic is different than the calendars that we have. And I believe by the very mind of the Lord, the cosmic knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and all that he has, that we'll begin to understand the seasons and the times. But we're not to try to predict the very day of the Lord's coming. We're not to try to predict the translation, although he didn't say that we wouldn't know the end of the world. He never said that, because that goes on a little past the translation. But we do know this. We'll know the seasons, and we're not to be ignorant of those seasons. But during the times that the disciples were around, he said it was not for them to know at that time, because it wouldn't do them any good. But then later on, through the writings of the apostle, it said we're not to be ignorant of the signs and the times and the seasons that God's going to give. So I believe in all of this that we're leading up to, that when he begins to move in Daniel's writings and in the book of Revelations and different parts of the Bible, that we'll begin to see the coming seasons and the coming times of the Lord. And, you know, even the stork knows the times, but the people don't know nothing. Can you say amen? The animals know. See, they know different things. And the people, they just go on their way there. Why, the greatest signs we've ever seen. Earth is moving out of its into the sea. The weather patterns, there are signs that he was coming. The earthquakes and the famines, the droughts and floods at the same time, that is sign. He gave one of the greatest signs was pestilence. You ever seen so much radiation scares, poisons coming out of our cities? It's all over the Bible. That would be a sign of his coming, would be pestilence. It would be pestilence in diverse places and everywhere. And we see them almost daily in the news now. All of these things were predicted, and I could stand here and predict Israel. He said, when Israel become a nation again, the Bible did, under the fig tree and the blooming of that, he said that generation would not pass away until all of these things are fulfilled. world, and the Bible gives a generation about 40 years. If you can get just exactly what a generation is, you will know somewhat in a season of time where the Lord's coming there. Israel become fully bloomed at 1948 there, and the migration came on. They become a state there, and Jesus said that generation shall not pass away. So we're in the time of the end, and this sun-clothed woman, boy, she's travailing in there. There's a struggle going on there, and there is a fight going on in there, and sometimes the very children of the Lord will fight against it, and they will push against it. And I'll tell you, rebuke them, boy, this thing is coming on through. Can you say God needs to slap some sense in them? Boy, this thing is coming. Amen. It's coming on. Hey, you see that struggle I've been in. Haven't you seen how he chose me to do this? It is a powerful thing here. I ignore Satan and go on because God has his work. He will do it. Boy, he's got it set. I mean, his clock is better than anything we've got. There she's struggling. Here it comes, boy. That woman of the ages there with that there. And this other woman over here is going to give birth to a monster in Revelation 13. Come out of that pit, boy, and he sees that church is raptured. He said he looks up in heaven in Revelation about 13, 4 and 5 in there, and he blasphemes those that are caught up in the throne before God, and he calls them abominable names in there, and he boasts of great things, and he's against the most high God. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, he says, I am God of the earth, and he sits in the temple of God declaring that he is God, and blasphemes those that were taken away into heaven that this woman gives birth to here. She produces in Revelation 17 a monster of iniquity. Read the whole chapter, and you'll see him come out of the bottomless pit getting in that man, and boy, he puts a mark on them there, and then they're scorched and burnt. God, can you say amen? Every one of us are numbered by the power of God. A hair on your head is numbered, the Bible said. Every hair. And I was Matthew this morning. We told you about 10:30 somewhere in there. You can get it on this morning sermon. And all of that is numbered. Did you know in a moment, I'll show you. In Revelation 13, when it said that he numbered, and he has a number, 666, and he marked and numbered. So Satan's people are numbered too. How many of you are following me now? See? Sure. Then it's the election, isn't it? Some will be, in the numbering of that, will be the sons of perdition. And the numbering in the sun-clothed woman will be the sons of God. He knows what he's doing, and we're waiting for this birth to take place here. And so as we start down through here, I want to get right on Satan here and the dragon. It shows that he's even pushed down closer to the earth. There's been several casting downs of Satan since he fell from heaven. His angels are over kingdoms of the earth, and then his angels run these demon powers that are making people do what they're doing. But most of his angels are running kingdoms and different things that we have seen upon the earth, the seven kingdoms that have come and nations and stuff like that. But each time God pushes him down closer and pushes him down closer. He tries to exalt himself in the heavenlies, and somewhere up in there he's the prince and power of the air. But then now there's a war on. The saints are caught up, and they evidently are in the battle, and Satan is beginning to be pushed down. And it says here, now you want to see this dragon, and it's here where he had seven heads and 10 horns, where the woman in 17 rides the mystery of Babylon. Not this woman, the sun clothes don't do it, she stays with the Lord. And the great dragon is cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan. Boy, that's what that dragon is. God don't hold no punches there, does he, in them seven world empires. With the seven heads of perversion there, and the 10 horns up there, and they're fixed to be crowned in a moment, and that monster come forth. It says here, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, a while ago, in the sermon, didn't the Lord say that, according to the scriptures, that the whole world during our time of being here would not be saved, but that we're to witness to take out a group, and that group is in the sun-clothed woman, the man-child, and her seed is left in the great tribulation too, and this dragon chases that seed too. But we're to take out group that God hath called and elected, and they will be raptured. But as far as the world, we're to witness to them, because many of those have come through the great tribulation. But it says here, he deceived the whole world except those that had their names on the book of life. He deceived every one of them. Isn't that something? Read it in chapter 13 there in a moment, in Revelation here. He deceived the whole world and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And boy, now they're upon the earth. And then we go through here, and I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Boy, he put him down, which accused them before God day and night. That devil will accuse you day and night, day and night. Blame everything on the church. Blame everything on God's servants. Blame everything on there. He'll get in and he'll accuse this and he'll accuse you and he'll accuse and he'll accuse. And the Lord finally just cast him down in there. Therefore, listen to this. See, something took place and he went up. So it says here, and she brought forth a man-child, and we're back up to verse 5, who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron and was caught up unto God in his throne. And that's when Satan was cast out here. And in verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that his time is short. And then the woman, it says here, was given wings and protection and fled into the wilderness and from the face of the serpent. And in this here great Roman beast, this great beast of power, worldwide power, was chasing them there. And then it gives the time. Listen to this. Verse 17 shows the other part of the seed. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that's your foolish virgins, which keep the commandments of God, having the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now there it is, just as plain as it. The man-child caught up, the remnant of the seed left, and the dragon is mad. And over here in Revelations, right down below that, here we are, Revelations 13. And here it says here, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horns, ten crowns. It's now crowned. The crowns were only on the seven heads, but there were no crowns on the horns because they come in at the last hour with the beast. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And there it is. And as soon as the man-child is caught up, we see the dragon then has his ten horns crown. The Antichrist, the eighth head, has come into power. There it is. The man-child's gone. He's chasing the remnant of the seed. That's the foolish virgins. The 144,000 Jews in Revelation 7 are sealed, and they're taken and sealed by God and protected. The tribulation now is ushered in. The great trials upon the earth. Blood runs in every direction, and he issues a mark. It says in verse 15 here, both, and he calls us all, both small, great, rich, and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads. And his number is 6666. And it says there, it's the number of a man. So there comes the monster. Jesus is the true Christ. Jesus is the one that raptured up the man-child group, were translated. The seed of the woman was weakened. She was weakened and fled. And the seed went into the wilderness, the dragon. Now he's crowned. The Antichrist comes into power because the ten crowns are now on its head that Daniel even saw. But there was no crowns when Daniel saw them. They're crowned right here. And so we see in Revelation 13, you read the chapter and you'll see them where they weren't on the ten horns here, yet their crowns are over here. That's because the translation has taken place. And then that the tribulation is on and the mark is given. It's just so beautiful and plain there. Jesus was the true Lord. He was the very Messiah. And he took and raptured a man-child. Got him out of the way. Now, here comes forth out of this perverted beast with the seven heads and ten horns and crowned here, blaspheming in his mouth. A monster from the other woman comes up, chases the remnant of the seed to kill them and bloodshed upon the earth. And if you don't take his mark and worship him as God, the real Messiah come and they wouldn't take him. Now the monster rises from the earth. Old Jekyll turns into Hyde. And really, these systems we got there are just like Jekyll. But the next moment you want to fool around, they're going to turn like Hyde. Boy, that monster's getting in there. And I mean, the earth is going to be inaugurated, a reign of terror that we have never seen before. And here's what he says here. And it says, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Those are 30 days each that he spent. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is able to make war with him? And then up here, it says here, and we'll find it. I want to find that verse for it. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. See, the man-child is caught up dwelling with the Lord, and he's so ferocious that he did not, after 6,000 years of history, those seven heads and those ten horns crown out, all through history, those seven heads, the devil is in this here beast power, and he is wroth, and he blasphemes heaven, and those that dwell in heaven, they're caught up under the wings of God and protected. So in his infuriation, he rages, and he rages after what is left, and the rest of the foolish virgins are fleeing into the wilderness there, and that's when the mark is given upon the earth, and finally, it goes into utter darkness, chaos, Revelation 16, then they meet over in Armageddon and the whole worldwide conflict comes in there. We have never seen the sights of that before. This gives you a short pictorial of many events in the book that will soon come to pass. But as you notice, reading chapter 12, it blends right on down to where the man-child is taken up, and then the seed is chased into the wilderness, and then the next chapter below it, it says he rides up and he's now crowned with his ten horns. That shows the new kingdoms have come into being with him that the Bible gives in Revelation 17. And then it shows the eighth head, no longer the seventh. Now, it said he of the seventh is even the eighth, and it's the eighth head that is the Antichrist. He shows us right in those two chapters. He changes from, he's Jekyll and this other one, you might say, and he turns to Mr. Hyde in chapter 13. He's no longer a world benefactor. He's not a personable, a person that they have once known. But he becomes a blasphemer, hatred, claiming that he is God, taking the very place of God. And then the earth goes into darkness and chaos. He does bring prosperity back and all of that, but it's of no avail. In just 42 months, the bloodshed will run for 200 miles in the Valley of Megiddo. And it gives that, I think, in chapter 14 of Revelation there. And we see those events coming now. The kings of the east preparing. We see that already. We see what's happened in the Middle East of lately, predicted in the Bible, the way that things are going to take place. There's yet some more events to take place there. Everything in God's time clock, prophetic, is timed to the utmost. The travailing of that woman is going to take place. Now listen to this here. Remember Solomon in his talks? I've got some scriptures here I want you to read. And Solomon was talking to us here, and it means about the same thing as what we're reading in Revelation 12. Psalms 45 gives us the same thing, too, if you'd like to read it there. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? Song of Solomon, 6:10. Of whom was he speaking about? To Solomon that was writing this in the Bible. It is the church. She's clothed with the sun, fair as the moon, set as an army in spiritual warfare against the powers of evil upon the earth. With that moon sitting there, reflecting the light of the sun, and it's going to be gone. Can you say amen? Ooh, praise the Lord. Now it says here, upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Now let's try to bring this to what Joseph said. This symbol speaks both of the church in Israel and of the bride. This was seen in Joseph's dream of the sun, the moon, the stars, making obedience or respect to him. In other words, that he said it would happen as a figure. He was taking in that point as symbolic of Christ. Genesis 37:9. He saw the whole thing there as a young boy. Here the stars refer to the overseers of the tribes of Israel. Stars also speak of the leaders in the church. In Revelation 1:20, we see it there. The 12 stars answers to the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Revelation 21:14, the 12 gates. Remember, we read it there. As further indications of the close relation of the church in Israel, Jesus promised the apostles that they should sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew 19:28. And we see also in Revelation 4, the 24 elders, which have something to do with this. And the Bible gives it to us. Isn't it beautiful? Now, what about the dragon? I'm going to finish this up right now and show you why the great warfare. I explained it some while ago. Now we have this. The dragon stood before the woman to devour the child when it was born. And this is vital for everyone that's living here today. Listen to this. The devil has stood before the woman to devour her seed from the days of Eden. Genesis 3:15. Now, Jesus is forming a man-child company, a group of true overcomers who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Revelation 2:27-28. And this is a critical and a crucial event in God's plans. Satan is trying every means within his power to prevent the company from coming forth. How many of you know that? He is exerting, and he is pushing and forcing, and he is trying to get the people away from it because it's coming forth. He is doing every kind of a pressure that he can think on you. He will shoot at you with every direction. You put on the full armor, which is the word of God, clothed with the anointing of God, and stand there, and he'll bounce right back. That's right. God is calling for a group of people who are completely dedicated and surrendered to him. Satan is seeking to bring in a compromise. You know, he says, I can't sometimes just get them. I'll make them compromise. Boy, I'm slippery and they don't even know it. He is, too. Just like the old servant. He'll slip around in this church. You know what he's going to do? Every one of those is going to be like Jekyll out there in them churches, and they're going to get them over in there, and that monster's going to come out and meet them. Can you say amen? That's exactly right. You know what Eve run into? Yeah, why, the Bible even says what it was. It was different than what she even supposed that it was. It was horrible after it was all over with. And she would let right in that thing so slick and so smooth that, you know, I'm going to tell you something here. I don't know where you saw it. I'll bring this in here. We got a little time here. Listen to me. I seen something a while back, and I'm not beside myself, but I saw it, that I wasn't having any visions or dreams or anything like that. I was walking around the house after one of the services last week. You may have saw it and can vindicate it. And all of a sudden, I was walking around, and I hardly very seldom ever go down in the bottom. And I just felt led to walk down there, and the boys were watching. I said certain things like they can watch, you know, like nature or something. And I walked down there, and they turned on this wild animal kingdom that it shows nature pictures and so forth like that. And I come down there, and they left it on, and they got up and went somewhere to do something. And I just sit down in the chair, and I was thinking about something. And it showed about the Florida Everglades. And when I was meetings in there at time, many, many people were healed down there. And I went all over Florida, and I went clear down. It took some time off and went clear to the Florida Keys. Now, Florida comes out like a serpent, said, you know that yourself, and then the little islands make it like a tongue if you look on the map. And so they were going to bring stories about the animals. that were in the deep Everglades, where man does not go and not allowed, I guess, to go in there. There's where you have the deer. There's you have the wilderness, the bear, the panther, the cougar, the wildcat, the serpents, the water moccasin, all kinds of serpents, the beautiful birds. It's the wildest place we've got left in the United States, and it's protected down there. And it's about, they were having about the otter under the water, and the crocodiles, and so forth. And so I decided to start watching that. And it showed this wildcat, and he come up there, and he was, and they showed a panther, too, a puma there. And he had those cameras just right in there. And the otter would come up. There was a certain log that he would get up on, and he'd dive off and go in the water. And this wildcat, he'd come up there, and they call him that down. He wasn't the big puma or the lion. They had a lion there, too, one of the mountain-type lions. They call him, I guess, a cougar. But this is a wildcat, and he was bigger than a cat. He was large. And so he was smacked at that otter like that and running down the pole. He was hungry. And he was fooling around there. And he went on for a while through there. And as he was coming through there, I was just sitting there, you know, for a month. I was watching that and watching God's nature. And he come along there and he said, when they get hungry, why, they'll eat snakes. This wildcat, he'll kill them and eat them. And so it showed this yellow-looking snake, and he was there. And I guess this is only in Florida, down the Everglades. I never heard of it anywhere else. And he was crawled up there at him like this, and that wildcat doesn't fear him at all. Just went up there and looked at him like that and went to growling. And this serpent does not have any poison, but he's protected another way. And so this wildcat went, wow, like that at him, you know, and snapped right at his head, and the snake crawled back. And because the wildcats will eat even poisonous snakes, they'll kill them. And so the serpent, it was too late. The cat, as he snapped at him once, he just come back and looked at him. And the serpent, this is the kind of serpent that doesn't have any poison. And the serpent let off a perfume like. And when it did, it hit that wildcat. And a wildcat went to playing with a snake and rolled all over him like this. And he charmed that wildcat. And that cat rolled on that snake there and licked him and everything else just rolling around there like that. And it was like playing with another kitten. I thought, that thing, what in the world has happened? And the announcer on that thing said, that the serpent's protection, that somehow he takes the appetite right out of that wild thing and charms him. And the serpent, he rolled all over him, never even bothered him, then got up and his appetite started coming back to him. And the thing started wearing off of him. And when it did, why, he looked back at the serpent and they were friends. And he went on his way. And they said, that's the way the serpent, now if you think I'm crazy, why don't you write Wild Animal Kingdom and find out next time you see that? I never see anything like it. Well, Eve was charmed in the garden in there, but not by a snake, as we know this thing was standing up. But what I'm trying to say is that devil can come up there, boy, and you may want to do something, and he'll charm that bunch out there in them churches, and then they'll just wallow around with him like that. Woo! Woo! They're going to perfume them. Revelations 17 said in there, they're going to charm them. And I mean, they're going to be charmed in there, too. They have all of that. But anyway, I've never seen anything like that. And there's nature. See, it never fails to amaze me. Well, don't turn it on and think you're going to see it. It's done past now. They showed it down there. And that wildcat, and to show you he's still hungry, he went over there and got a crippled up duck or something in there. He was so strong, and he attacked it. And, of course, he got it in the water there somehow, and he got away with it. And they showed all kinds of things. Now, that's something that he charmed. Now, there it was. Right there in the Everglades. So we see nature is something that God's got. Those churches out there and all of the people of the world, they're going to be charmed. And I mean, Jesus said a strong delusion is coming. He gave the cat a delusion. The thing was in a delusion. Thought it was his best friend. Thought it was another cat or something that he knew. I'd never seen anything like it. And a strong delusion is coming from that old serpent. And he's come out there and Jesus said, why? Because they believe not the truth. See, I said, I'll keep that in my heart. I don't know when I'd say, tell such a thing as that. Well, it's tonight. The old dragon, the old devil, the old charmer. Boy, he can charm them, can't he? He charmed those people and they killed Jesus. Can you say amen? He charmed them and he killed their best friend. Now, and he said, where'd you get those scars? In the house of my friends. Now, how can Satan do that to man? See, Jesus forewarning you, telling you all about these things here. And so we see that we see all this. So Satan, he's seeking to bring in compromise. And sure enough, he will compromise. He would like to get the people of God to violate their vows of separation and become lukewarm. Ooh, that's what he's coming. Now, he can't get them to quit God all at once. But, oh, he'll have compromises and you get more people. Compromise over here. See, you can do this out there. You can do all that. You get the richer people. And you can get the bad, all this. They'll all come together, see. Just compromise. We'll agree, see. Now, it's coming that way. He knows he can't get them all at once. And gradually, over the last 10 years, there's been a compromise that I have never seen deliverance ministers do or no one else. And you have to admit, it's in the world. Can you? You know, somebody said one time, I was predicting this terrible inflation between 1977 and 79, and then pretty soon later, there's coming an awful thing upon the earth, probably in those early 80s there. And the people said at the time, you said it probably would even triple. Said, I had no, well, I said, I could hardly believe that things would do that. And I got some letters that they say, everything we got has tripled on us nearly. And from 1976 and 7, when you were telling about it, or 75, see, these things are coming, the delusion. Everything's coming on earth. You better get ready because it's coming just like the Lord said. But nevertheless, about that, it's causing them slowly in the last 10 years to turn lukewarm. And then, you see, the promise of rulership of the nations was given to the overcomers and the church of Jezebel, the Thyatira, the fourth church age. He promised them to rule if they would overcome that. And they did overcome it at that time, the ones that he had chosen for that. This was the church in which Jezebel sought to entice the servants of God to commit spiritual fornication, physical too, in that Revelation 17, 18. That is this, to enter into an affinity with the world and become like the world and yet have God at the same time out there. It won't work. Can you say amen?
Yes.
It wouldn't work. Those Jews would hold right on to their religion, and they said, we have Moses, and we have Abraham. We do not need the ministry of Jesus. We do not need him. And they held right on to it, and they would not turn it loose until they were taken by a strong delusion, and then they went and done whatsoever that was listed of them to do. And so we see this. So it had Revelation 2:20 that we've got this here. So we said, you know, in all of this, people who tell you that there's not going to be a rapture of the man-child or translation, they're just not converted. I don't care how many tongues they talk into, they're not convincing me when God, His Word says it, and then He Himself talks to me. I'm not going to believe them. I wish more people get like that. Can you say amen? But the people are the easiest thing. I've never seen anything like that. All they got to do is just... And boy, it just like, it has to be the age. Can you say amen? There's coming a translation. God's going to gather His children. He's going to carry them in there. He is coming for His bride. Can you say amen? Oh, praise God. He is coming, boy. It's the truth. It is right there. And so, I've even seen people, you know, they've even been healed and so forth. And they'll go to and that kind of a doctrine. And their healing will stay with them so long of time. But then finally, you see them, just it'll just phase away from them. Stay with the Word of God. This man-child was called up into heaven. The foolish virgin seed in verse 5, it shows it, Revelation 12, verse 5, it shows called up into heaven. And in verse 17, it shows the remaining of the seed that came afterwards. And they were chasing the wilderness. That's your tribulation saints there. I could bring in scriptures all over the Bible proving you He come like a thief. He will come in an hour that you think not. He is coming for His own. I'm not saying that the church is not going to go through some tests and trials and usher into part of that tribulation, because she definitely is going into part of it. But the great part of the marking in the name and the mark of the beast and all of that, now that there shows, Revelation 12 and 13 shows there's a difference there that took place into the seventh to the eighth head. You can read it yourself. And the child caught up, and then the beast roars. Now we see that there. And so we're beginning to see God's plans in the Bible there. And so at the end, He's trying to bring in a compromise to do that. So Christ declares that those who yield to Jezebel's seductions will go into great tribulation except they repent. Revelation 2:22. And God's call is to the elect. And this very present time, right now, what I'm talking about tonight is for us right now. It is to alert against the crawling, sneaking serpent of compromise and lukewarmness of the world to have an affair with the world churches and in the government. Stay out, saith the Lord, and come out of her, my people. Go not near her. That's right. The deadly spirit of worldliness. See, you say, look here with this great miracles. No one can deny them traveling all over the nations. Just bang, one thunder and one right after another. Miracles and miracles. And look at them drop back from this power. Look at them. They just draw back from it. No excuse. There cannot be none. What is it? It's the spirit of worldliness that's killing them. They can't stay near it. Can you say amen? I know what's causing it, man. We're in a different age when I was first called. And God told me 15 years ago I could see it coming then. But now it just crept in today. You've got to have, if you have a deliverance ministry, you've got to mix all that worldliness up in it. And today, and I see those fellas in trouble, man. I mean, and they're in some of them getting in deep trouble. And all kinds of things you'll be reading about sometime. And I'll tell you, now's the time to hold to the Word of God. I'm not saying that the people that are coming in are perfect yet. No, no, no. The church has a long ways to go. But I'm to guide her with the star of God. And I'm to show them what is right and what is wrong. And if I wasn't to do any more, see, He would have done took it. But I'm to work and to prepare you, to get you ready, because the day is getting closer and closer. How many of you can say amen? You know, this one here on the series of Revelation 12, the sun-clothed woman,
and the Psalms this morning on Psalms 45. And all of this is about the beauty of God and what he does for his church and courts the church. And Revelation 17 is the gaudy, the woman, the mystery, the killer, the murderess, the Jezebel. And that was so horrible that God gave me in there that I wouldn't even utter it. I wrote it on a scroll and you can read it later. What will we found? And Mystery Babylon under the great delusion that is coming. Don't miss it. Scroll 80. You get it. I wouldn't even utter it. I wrote it on a scroll. You can read it yourself. It is coming. And those chapters, it's everything in there. It's the Word of God. How this world is going to be deceived, how that the Antichrist is going to come, and how all these things are going to happen. It's going to be there. Well, one of the reasons is that he brought me in this direction and that went in that direction. It had no difference, but he wanted to do it that way. So you'll get that one over here. This sun-clothed woman here, and then he beat me to it and wrote that on a piece of paper. So that's coming that way, and I had to come this way. How many of you know how he works through me? He goes one way. I don't have anything to do with it. I'll tell you the truth. He just comes and goes as he wills, and he does whatsoever he pleases. Can you say amen? That's right. Some of you must like it, or he'd send me somewhere else or something. All right. Are you still with me? But anyway, watch for it. It gives a warning. That scroll and Revelations come out of her, my people. That scroll 80, it gives a warning for your children. It gives a prophetic warning to not go near. It shows you just exactly how the creeping thing is coming there. It's a warning, a prophetic warning that God gives to the church. Because every cage of every bird devil you've ever seen, now watch how they'll get together in there. Everything from that bottomless pit, every demon, every horde upon earth will be found in there. Boy, is that going to be something. It says all of them found in her. Now that's going to be there. The murderous, cruel thing that's going to be there. Oh, hold to the Lord and be in that man-child. Get translated out here. So they compromise. A deadly spirit of worldliness. So listen to me right now. It's time for you to renew your vow of separation from the world. And those who are faithful, listen to this, those who are faithful will have the position promised to the overcomers or the man-child company. Revelations 2, 26 and verse 27. The man-child bride. I really believe that. There is a fan like a rainbow that surrounds her, and it's going to be caught up. And I tried to give you the different sections according to the Spirit of God, and it is true, and it is real. How many of you know that we're waiting for the expectation and the travailing for the church to come forth, the sun-clothed woman to bear that child, the man-child, and the rest of the seed does not get caught up at that time, but is chased into great tribulation. If you want to follow the seed and see where it goes, turn to chapter Revelation 7 towards the latter parts of the chapter, and you can read as the sands of the sea. They had to give their blood and their life, many of those, to get into heaven at that time, but they weren't found among the bride. And so this is the message here today, and I brought it out as best as I could with the scriptures. And I believe this, that when you get the part this morning, this, there'll be much for you to digest. Worldwide events are in there. I will say this. God even gave us secrets to his type of calendar. And when I come back maybe to the June meeting, we don't know when he'll give me all that, but we'll begin to get into those seasons and just see what God has for his children. Can you raise your hands and say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Oh, my, just look out there, God. Can you say, praise the Lord? Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. I imagine if you're new here tonight, you don't understand it all, but Jesus loves you. Let me tell you, if you're new here tonight, he loves you. He'll do anything for you. Just a simple act of faith. You be here next Sunday night. I'm going to pray for the sick with us. All, we're going to have a service next Sunday. I want God to really move and touch these sick bodies and save souls. Even tonight, you can come down here in front and get saved. Just give your heart to God. You know, someday in the future, I've done so much preaching. I'll pray to the Lord, and we'll advertise, and we'll have a healing service from early in the morning down here. In other words, from 11 o'clock, we'll come back at 2:30 and have some more healing. We'll come back at 7 o'clock. I'll just pray for them. I'll just pray for them. Watch God move and just knock the devil out of there. Can you say amen? Sure. Well, the message here that God gave tonight, be in the man-child group. Get caught up with the Lord. That's what I want to say before I close. And all the people that listen to this on cassette or book or have, probably on cassette because it'd be hard to get all of these things in the book right now. Remember this, God loves you. Stay with him. He's coming soon, very soon. When he begins to reveal and talk about 30 prophetic days, 360 days a year, and he begins to show from the time of Adam and Eve, clear up to the end of the age that he's dealing in those time slots in there, he doesn't change. He stays right with the Bible clock. He doesn't stay with man's clock. It's the Bible clock. He uses those. Then we're getting closer and closer. These 80s will be exciting, awesome as we've ever seen. The most things we've never seen in the history of the world will take place in there. Don't forget it. Prepare your heart. Time is really shortening there. But nevertheless, I wanted to close with that for the people that get to hear that. And I'll be praying for you. God bless each one that hears that. Now, getting back to the other here. We're going to have that he's preached sometimes, you know, so many of these sermons, that we will sometimes in the future, I'll pray for the sick in our 11 o'clock services, and then we'll have a 2:30 service. I'll just pray for the sick, see? And we'll call testimonies and praying for the sick, and then at night we'll pray for the sick. And we'll just have God move in a great way. When he does that, I don't know. Because I mentioned it, evidently he's going to do it somewhere down the line. But we'll have a great time in the Lord, and there's great deliverance. Now he brings the word, and then what does he do? He delivers the people. So next Sunday, you be here. We're having a healing service, a miracle service. I'm expecting God to deliver. I believe that God's going to deliver. Can you say amen? Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, praise God. Get ready, each one of you here tonight, and the Lord bless your heart too. Everything I tell you, God tells me I wouldn't tell you, and I put it down right here. I want you to stand to your feet here tonight. And after service, if you need anything to book stand, go there. But you prepare. Be here next Sunday for a great service, and we'll have a great time, Lord. I'll finish my series of sermons now that I've had to preach. And if you put it all together, I believe it'll bless your heart when it comes out here. And when you come down here, I'm going to pray over each one of you before I leave. If you need a baptism, open up your heart. If you need salvation, just say, Lord, I repent. I love you, Jesus. Get you the Word of God. Read it in a book or anything, and he'll bless you. But open up your heart. Get in the innermost circle of God and let him have your hand. Come on down. Woo! Praise God. Come on. Get your jumping shoes on. Get your dancing shoes on. Dance with God.